Port Consultants released their final report in Skagway, and the state may update its Derelict Vessels Act. This is your KHNS local news. I'm Claire Strempel. Those stories are up next. Miami-based Port Consultants Bermeo and Ajamil presented a management plan for Skagway's multi-million-dollar port in early February. That's anticipating the 2023 termination of the current waterfront lease. Now they are releasing the final draft of that report to the public. Skagway Mayor Andrew Cremata spoke with KHNS to explain that the final report is just a starting point for future planning.
Well, so what will happen is the report comes out Friday. It's important to remember that, you know, this is a report. It's not a plan. This is to provide the assembly information so that they can make plans in regards to independent control of the port post-2023. So, you know, there's going to be some things that are eye-opening in the report. One of them is if you look at cruise ship passenger projections over the next 20 years, you see this, you know, massive increase where eventually you have over 2 million visitors coming a year to Skagway. Well, obviously, I think if you talk to the vast majority of people in Skagway, everybody recognizes the fact that that's perhaps a bit out of control, that we don't, most people probably don't want 2 million passengers off the cruise ships per year, because you'd have days where you'd have 22, 25,000 people in town. So obviously it's, this kind of information is valuable because it shows that we do need to have some kind of controls. And the only way that's going to be possible to put a limit on the number of people coming into town is if, you know, we have control of our port. Right now it's kind of unrestrained growth. We're going to have over 1.1 million next year, which is something like a 6-7% increase over the previous year. Projections for 2021 is another 10% increase. And if you factor in a similar increase the year after, by 2022, the year before we take over the port, could have as many as 1.35 million people coming into town. Well, unfortunately, we can't control that because we don't control our port currently. So it really underscores the value of gaining that control and implementing the things that are put forth there in the plan from Bermeo and Ajamil, so that we not only are taking control of the port, but we're doing it in such a way that it benefits the entire community.
And so just to be clear, this report is coming out on Friday, and it's going to be before the assembly to accept it. Now, that's not accepting it as a plan. That's accepting it as a planning document.
Exactly. That's a great way to put it. So, you know, I've had a couple people come up to me and go, oh, no, like we're going to have, you know, 2 million people in town in 20 years. Or, you know, I don't like where the plan says we should put the ferry terminal, or a number of other little comments and complaints. Well, again, these aren't plans. And that commentary is actually quite valuable. And everybody in the community is going to get a chance to share their input so that the assembly can factor in that input along with the information that's in the plan and start working through that.
What is the timeline for the assembly? So this report is getting released on Friday, and that's the final draft of a presentation that we saw at the beginning of the month. What is the next step for the assembly? When do they weigh in on this report, and how do they hear from the community? When is that weigh-in going to happen?
So what I'm hoping is that we can have a work session sometime in either late April, early May. I'd like to do it when, you know, we have our seasonal residents here so that we can get a voice from the entire business community and from all the residents in town. Even if they are here 5 months out of the year, their voice is still important to this community. So the decisions that are going to be made, it will influence year-round residents, and they'll influence, you know, seasonal residents, and they'll influence business owners, whether their business is open from May to October or it's open throughout the year. What will happen here, hopefully, with the report is that, you know, it needs to be approved by resolution with the assembly. So we wanted to give everyone some time to look through the report in case there's, you know, some edits that need to be made, misspellings, whatever. And then that'll come to the second meeting in March. And it'll be hopefully be approved by the assembly. Again, it's not a plan. So there's nothing, if somebody doesn't like something that's in there, there's no reason to get fired up about it quite yet. You'll see an action plan coming out with this report from Bermeo and Ajamil, and there's a timeline included in that. And, you know, that's something that the assembly can choose to adhere to so that come March of 2023, when those first boats start coming in into our docks that year, we're 100% prepared for them.
That was Skagway Mayor Andrew Cremata. You can access the Bermeo and Ajamil final report online at skagway.org. An exemption for an additional registration requirement for commercial fishing boats in Alaska is moving through the Alaska legislature. The House Bill 185 is an update for the state's Derelict Vessels Act. In 2018, that law was expanded and revised to require registration for larger vessels through the Department of Motor Vehicles. It was meant as another way to track ownership and responsibility for abandoned boats and collect money to remove and clean up vessels if needed. However, commercial fishermen have pointed out that they already register their boats with the U.S. Coast Guard and Alaska's Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission. Kodiak Republican Representative Louise Stutes sponsored this year's change that would provide an exemption for boats already registered with the CFEC. She pushed for its passage during a House Fisheries Committee meeting in early February.
I think this is a good move. It removes a duplicative registration requirement on commercial fishing vessels. The amendment strengthens the bill for tracking undocumented CFEC vessels and streamlines preparations for the fishing season while still collecting the data we need on vessel ownership.
Stutes' bill has had amendments during hearings in the Fisheries and Transportation Committees. Matt Greening, a legislative aide for Stutes, explained another change in a Transportation Committee hearing February 25th.
This amendment brings the bill to cost neutral by charging an $8 fee per year in lieu of the three-year $24 fee that would have been charged at DMV. With this amendment, a CFEC-registered vessel will still be required to pay the $8 per year that will be transferred for use by DNR for boating safety programs and the purposes of Senate Bill 92 and Derelict Vessel Fund. They will not be required to go into the DMV, though, or display the decal on their vessel. So I think it's a happy medium for what fishermen wanted, but still providing the fee for the Derelict Vessel Fund and continuing to send boating safety funding to DNR.
DNR is the Department of Natural Resources, which has an Office of Boating Safety and also manages state tidelands, where vessels are sometimes abandoned. That $8 fee requirement would be effective January of next year. The 2018 registration requirement was pushed by the Alaska Association of Harbor Masters and Port Administrators to develop a system for sometimes costly cleanups of abandoned boats. Last year, that organization also supported this latest exemption. The association's executive secretary, Rachel Lord, testified before the House Fisheries Committee in early February. House Bill 185 was passed out of both Fisheries and Transportation Committees this month. A companion bill is also moving in the Senate this winter. This is your KHNS Local News. I'm Claire Strempel. Thanks for joining us. Joe Vicknicki contributed to our reporting tonight. You can hear these stories and more on our website at khns.org or wherever you get your podcasts.